It's 8:08 to Monday morning. Kind of a dull Monday morning. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Chris Winkleman. Happy Monday, March 6th.
Is he your new husband?
What did I say?
I'm Chris Berg, by the way.
What did I say?
I'm Chris Winkleman?
Did I really?
Yeah.
Did I really?
Yes, you did. Anyway, moving on.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing happened over the weekend. And I certainly did not take your last name, Kay.
But, yeah. My gosh, that is a first. I didn't even notice.
Your husband might have an issue with that.
Chris
one.
Berg. I said Chris. Well, okay. Mayor. Well,
yeah,
Mr.
let's just
Mayor.
Go ahead and move on. 34 degrees, downtown Charles City.
Holy buckets.
Kay Winkleman, go ahead and introduce who you have next to you.
Well, in studio, witnessing that wonderful faux pas of mine.
He actually caught it. I didn't even catch it until he said something.
You did say that. Good morning. We have Mr. Mayor in studio, Dean Andrews. How are you?
I'm great
today. Other
than
a little flabbergasted.
I'm off to a great start.
Got
a good,
bet you
good
are.
Chuckle right early in the morning.
I
so.
Bet you are.
Only a KCHA can you get that
my
in
gosh.
The morning. Now I don't even know what we're talking about. You kind of threw me off.
Yeah, but it's March.
It
good
is
news.
March.
It is March.
You know, I was watching one of the late night shows the other day, and they showed all these newscasters, you know, just one to one, and they all said, "Can you believe it's March?" And they showed the next one, "Can you believe it's March?" And the next one, "Can you believe it's March?"
I just love it. I just love that it's March. But we got a lot on the docket to talk about. What's up first?
Well, let's talk about rental properties and just nuisances in general. Not saying that all rental properties are nuisances. Didn't mean to imply that. But I think we talked a little bit last month, and the council's talked a lot about kind of raising the bar on some of our properties in town. I think in the last 10 years, we've slowly seen an increase in more nuisance properties. You know, people having cars in their backyards or three cars and two of them don't even have tires on them, and you know, just different things, holes in sides of the house, the windows are broken, and none of this and a lot of this stuff isn't getting fixed. And so I was at the high school last week. I taught Sarah Downing's government class for three periods last week, which is really fun. I've done this, like, this is about the sixth time I've done it. Oh, she has become every semester, but it's really fun to, I kind of tell these kids about city government, but then they have some interesting questions too. And one of the questions was, what's one of the biggest comments you get from people? And I said, well, I would say far and above the most frequent comment I get is from people is about nuisances. That, you know, I've got this nice house and next door I've got just a big junk pile. And I told the kids, it doesn't affect the assessment property value of your house. You know, the assessor sets the appraisal, the valuation of your house. But that nuisance next door, it doesn't affect the assessed value, but it does affect the selling value. You know, if you want to sell your house and say your house is valued at $90,000 and somebody comes in and says, well, I'm not paying $90,000 with that mess next door. So the council has really wanted to kind of step up the enforcement, I guess you would say, of nuisance property. So we talked about our rental inspection is done once every 3 years. All rentals are inspected once every 3 years. But, you know, from when that's inspected one time till 3 years from then, a lot of different things can happen. So we're going to try to, before our rental inspections were basically safety. Does the smoke alarm work? You know, does the water run? Is the furnace working right? Those kind of things. Now we're going to get more into the quote unquote nuisance things that are maybe, you know, more so than just safety. They're just not good. And so the ADC we've kind of reactivated the last 6 months, a housing committee. And that housing committee is, you know, how can we get more housing in Charles City? And one of the things that housing committee has talked about is just this exact same thing. How can we improve the quality of housing that we have in our community? Because maybe if we improve that quality of housing, now a lot of those properties are more appealing to people moving into town, or even as rentals or as purchase prices. So the housing committee has decided they want to have a meeting with a lot of the landlords in town, and that's what we're kind of trying to organize right now, is, you know, let's get the landlords involved in this process too. We have a lot of good landlords. We have some that maybe are not as good as we'd like them to be in enforcing things with their tenants. But how do we get the landlords on board? And one of our committee members, Emily Garden, said, you know, when she was a renter in Iowa City when she was going to school, when she signed on to be a renter, she had a contract with the landlord saying, I won't do this, I won't do this, I won't do this. And so, you know, that could be helpful to our landlords to say, you know, when you rent to somebody, have them sign a contract to say they're going to keep this up, or they're not going to do, you know, they're not going to do this. So give the landlord some tools to work with too. So I think it'll be interesting to have that meeting with the landlords to get some of their ideas. And I think, you know, like I say, a lot of the landlords are very good, and they would probably like the standards to be higher, because that means their competition is going to have to meet those higher standards that they're already meeting potentially. So
definitely. And some, I mean, you've done some great work in cleaning up portions of Charles City over the past few years too. So
yeah, you know, we've had for several years, we've had a program with CDBG programs where people could, we pick a certain area of town, and we worked on, you know, like maybe five or six properties in that area of town, and they got up, I think it was up to $25,000 to just do renovations and bring their property up. Maybe it's new siding, maybe it's new windows, maybe it's a new front door, just things like that. So we've done that since I was on the council, you know, 28 years ago or whatever it was. I think over that period of time, we've probably done that four or five times in different sections of town. So it doesn't, you know, doesn't improve every house, but if you can improve five houses in that area, a lot of times you improve your house and all of a sudden your neighbor says, well, wow, look at what they did to their house. Maybe I should do a little something too. So anytime we can get that owner, renter, landlord buy-in, it's a good thing.
Well, and housing, as you said, is such a needed thing, and decent housing. And of course, like you said, you know, people wanting to come to town to purchase a property and maybe see the house itself that they're interested in as wonderful, but then the neighborhood or the neighboring houses aren't so great. So good thing. When is the meeting?
Actually, we were supposed to have a meeting tomorrow or today to organize this meeting, but I think it's
the meeting before the meeting,
but I think that's going to be tomorrow now. But yeah, we have to get ourselves together and decide, you know, what do we want to have this meeting accomplish. So this is just kind of a tidbit to kind of pique everybody's interest. So all you landlords out there, we're going to try to get your opinions. So
very good.
Good deal.
Chickens. And we're not talking the chicken factory this time.
No.
Oh my goodness.
We're talking maybe suppliers to the chicken. No.
Maybe.
We don't want thousands of chickens in town, but we've been approached by a family in town who wants to have some chickens on their property. And he came about it in a couple different ways. Number one, you know, everybody knows the price of eggs have been going up. And so, you know, just from a financial standpoint, it'd be nice to be able to produce your own eggs or have your friends producing eggs, I guess I'd say. But the other thing he talked about is, you know, he has young kids and he wants to, you know, teach them to have responsibility. You know, they got to take care of the chickens, they got to collect the eggs or whatever. So that, you know, he kind of came at it from that point of view too also. And he also said chickens are good at, you know, eating insects. And so he's a big gardener and his neighbors are gardeners. And he says, you know, these chickens eat a lot of insects that are a nuisance for, here we go, still talking about nuisances, that are a nuisance for a gardener, you know, that affect the gardener. So he's looking at it from, you know, all those different aspects. And so we've had requests before for chickens in town, and we've allowed a couple of them, but most of the, I think the two, maybe three, but I think just two that we've approved have been way on the outside. Like one was almost like a farmstead that was just happened to be in the city limits, but it was really almost looked more like a farm. I think it was out on 11th Street. And then one other one is right on the edge of town, and we allowed. But this is, I think, is more, should we allow these anywhere in town? And so the gentleman that approached us brought a lot of examples of other communities. And I see on my mayor, I belong to the statewide mayor's association. A lot of times through that association, you'll get, excuse me, comments of other cities that are looking at chickens, and they say, you know, it's becoming more and more common to allow some chickens in town. Now, he quoted some towns, I think it was Mason City or maybe another one, but they would allow up to 25 chickens. I don't think we're going to go there. I think if we do this, it'd probably be, you know, 6 chickens at the most, and no roosters, so you don't have the noise.
That was my next question. Is there going to be a rooster?
Yeah, you don't.
5:30 in the morning.
You won't have
good morning.
You won't have that automatic alarm clock. But so no, this would be just for hens. But there's still a concern. You know, I think Councilman Friesman brought up, you know, he grew up on a farm, and you know, sometimes if you don't take good care of those chickens, the smell can be, you know, not nice. And so I think if we do that, and so what we talked about at our workshop was, I'm glad you brought this up, but I think, you know, we need to discuss it again a little bit more. So what we did was directed staff to, you know, maybe come up with some parameters, some guidelines as far as what would we be looking at. And then we'll discuss it again at another workshop and have this gentleman come back and, you know, kind of give us his, because it sounds like he's done some research too. And so, yeah, we'll see where it goes. But I think there are a lot more communities that are allowing chickens in town just for the, I think, for several reasons, like just all the reasons he mentioned, but we'll see where it goes. But yeah, I don't think we're going to have a flock of 50 in the backyard. But
does that include businesses? Can we have some here at KCHH?
There you go.
We'll have Kay Winkleman take care of them.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it's a fair question, and rightly so, actually considering the price of eggs and the fact that it can be a good FFA or 4-H project for town kids. So fair enough question, fair enough to at least have that discussion.
Yeah, I think that's kind of set where we said that, you know, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what we can and can't do. Because obviously we're not going to go overboard, but maybe saying no to everybody is not the right answer either.
Yeah, right.
25 chickens in Mason City?
Yeah, I think it was Mason City. I don't know for sure where it was, but I think it was Mason City.
Wow.
I better not say that because then I'll have all the Mason City people calling.
That's not our job.
Well, it's somewhere in the state of Iowa they allow 25 chickens. All right, what's next on the docket, Mr. Mayor?
I want to just give a plug for our wastewater treatment plant, the WRF, we call it. As you know, we just spent about $19 million upgrading that facility. And part of the reason was, if you remember, what was 2008, I think, when we had the flood. And if you remember, there were about 2 or 3 days there where you were encouraged not to use your toilets, not to take showers, because the WRF actually got overrun by so much water of not so much wastewater out of your homes, but just water from the flood. And there was so much water going into that facility that it couldn't handle it all. And so it kind of had to be shut down, and the water bypassed the treatment plant, which means we were putting raw sewage into the river. Of course, you have to get a okay from the DNR to do that. And you don't want to do it for very long because the people in Nashville don't like that probably very well. So, but anyway, one of the things we did with our new, when we did this improvement at the wastewater treatment plant, was we put in what they call equalization basins. And so when the water comes into the, when the storm water comes into the plant, it can go into basically what's called basically a holding pond. And so it can kind of, this huge amount of water can go in that holding pond and sit and gradually be released into the treatment area, because that water isn't bad water. It's just rainwater or river water that's overwhelming the plant. And so we put in these equalization basins. So the normal flow through the wastewater treatment plant is about 1,300 gallons per minute on a normal day. Well, what happened when the ice went out of the river, and the river was so high last week, one of those icebergs, not an ice Winkleman, not an ice Winkleman, but an iceberg. One of those icebergs hit the manhole down by our campground and basically took the lid off that manhole. And so there was just, you know, whatever size a manhole is, a foot or foot and a half in diameter, wide open with river water covering it up. So it was taking on full stream of water for quite a lot of time until the river went back down. So during that time, at a maximum, it was taking on 12,000 gallons per minute, the wastewater treatment plant, because it was getting this big flow from this open manhole. Well, like I say, the normal is 1,300. So if you go from 1,300 to 12,000 a minute, you're going to shut down the wastewater treatment plant. But because we had these equalization basins, that's where that water went, just sat in those equalization basins till it could be slowly released into the wastewater plant, and everything functioned just like a normal day. So it was a, you know, it's nice to see when those things work. You know, you spend $19 million to try to fix a problem, and it fixed the problem.
And hopefully it works, yeah.
Didn't those... it just get done last year?
Yeah, totally fixed. I mean, we haven't even closed out the project yet because there's been just some little things that were, you know, still need to be done. But yeah, so it, you know, this was the first test that it passed with flying colors. So
wonderful.
And that, you know, that's not the only thing that upgrade has done. There are some other things as far as, you know, treatment of the sewage water and different things like that. But this is one of the things that we did that made it better, and it worked. So
that's
great.
Wonderful. Yeah, those icebergs were something to see last week.
Yes, I didn't see them, but it sounds like it was pretty cool.
It was something.
We'll talk about the power. I mean, like you're mentioning, it took that cover off, but it didn't just take the cover off. It sheared the bolts off it and everything. I mean, that's the power of that ice going down the river. So
you don't want to mess with rushing waters.
You'll
lose every time.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, it's always great to talk to you guys.
That's right. You'll be back next month.
April.
It should be a lot warmer.
You know what we'll do? We'll say, did you know it's April already?
And it's my birthday month.
Oh, it is?
April 1st. So yes, April I'll take accolades all month long.
Yeah, I bet being born on April 1st, you get a lot more than accolades.
Don't even. The people at the station are relentless. So.
Hey, we gave you a break last year.
Yes.
We didn't do anything last year, but that might change. Day 25, thank you very much, Dean, for joining us. We'll talk to you next month.
All right, great, thanks.
34 degrees downtown Charles City. Your weather's coming up.